Once upon a time, I was falling in love. Now I'm only falling apart. There's nothing I can do. A total eclipse of the fart. Because that's what happened tonight. Sun stunk it up. Horrible. Horrible first quarter. Almost fucking historic. Horrible first quarter. 10 points. Playing game on the line. Effort needs to be at an all-time high. Matthew, none of that happened for the Suns. Nothing at all. Suns lose. What do you fucking do?
Arr. Yeah, what are you going to do, man? I mean, you were there.
It was a joke.
I've never experienced anything like that. You know, a 4-0 run by Eubanks to get the game started, right? Or I'm sorry, no. It was Eubanks. What was it, 30-4?
Yeah.
And Eubanks had the 4 points? I mean, that's the way you want to start. Points. Move the ball through Eubanks. No Nurkic, who cares, man? Keep the same offense. Get the ball flowing from side to side. And just trust Eubanks with it. I don't understand what the hell happened. I don't know what we just saw tonight, man.
I honestly don't. And I got to give a huge tip of my hat to you because you did the playback on our Bright Side of the Sun channel. And you were there the whole time. What was that experience like?
It was cool. It was fun. Metal Mike came on for a little bit. Actually, I like the playback. My butt falls asleep, though. It's kind of uncomfortable here if I'm going to sit here for 4 hours or 3.5 hours straight. But other than that, it was cool. We had about 125 people watching us.
Nice. Misery watching.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I don't know why you're here watching us, but just me. But it was cool. I enjoyed it. Almost a comeback.
Yeah, almost, right? I mean, the story of the 2023-2024 Phoenix Suns, the team of almost. Almost good enough. Almost made the shot. That first quarter was just unbelievable. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about plenty more in this edition of the Suns Jam Session Podcast. Appreciate everyone who's hanging out with us. I'm climbing stairs right now, so it's probably a good time to go ahead and just start the intro. Lot to a little. The Phoenix Suns lose to the Los Angeles Clippers. What, they lose by 15, Matthew?
Yeah, they lost by 13. 105-92.
So 13. So, I mean, I guess if you're going to put, like, you're going to try to find the good on it, I guess that'll be my first question.
Oi, Matty. Mate, I've got to ask.
So, Matthew, I got to ask, the team's down 37 points in the first half. They cut it to 13 by the end. Is that a good sign? What do you think?
Oh, yeah, I actually do. I think it's great. I think the way the Suns got back into it, led by who I was saying during the playbacks, like get Beal, get Grayson Allen the ball. Those are the guys who are not giving up, that are playing defense, that are disrupting passes, that are grabbing big boards, not hitting the shots. Grayson Allen couldn't make a fucking shot.
No.
But they had the energy. They had the energy to get them back into the game. So, on the playback, I was talking about, you know, for the Suns to come back and put up a fight in this, I know it's so cliche to say, you know, it shows that they have some guts, they have some will to, like, continue to finish the season strong and to get back into big games against a team like the Clippers who are great defensively. And you want to see how they can, like, withstand them and they can see how they can come back. Not down 37. I want to be a little bit competitive, but not like that. But for them to come back and make it a game in the end, I think that was big, but also it is the NBA and this happens all the fucking time. So I don't know what to believe. I don't know what to believe if you're going to say, like, if there's anything that's good to come from it. I don't think so. No, because they didn't win. If they would have won this game, I'd be like, hell yeah, dude. And if they would have won behind Eubanks scoring like 30 points, I'd be like, fuck yeah, there you go. There's some confidence going to the playoffs, but I don't see anything positive from this. I think it was a bad start.
You guys have to back out because I can't get in my door.
All right, I'll back out.
You.
Yeah, so just led by Eubanks in the beginning is just kind of a tough watch. And also when you have Booker out there who's just struggling to have any kind of energy to lead this team, you kind of tell, like, it's Bradley Beal and Grayson Allen who have to lead this team back into games by pushing the ball, by having the better body language, or by giving a fuck. And those are the two guys I can count on.
Yeah, it was a unique strategy by the Suns, wasn't it? It's like, listen, no Jusuf Nurkić, so what's your strategy going to be? Run the offense through Drew Eubanks? Like, what's that about? Don't really know. Thought it was a bold choice to go through a guy who, I mean, he looked horrible. He looked absolutely horrible. And he had the first 4 points for the Suns. And it was just unbelievably, it was comical. I mean, I'm not mad. I'm not upset. It was comical. I'll tell you what I am mad about. Is those two ladies right there who parked so horribly right next to me. So I couldn't get in my door. That's what I was saying. That's what you heard me say. You know, they come walking up.
I rolled their eyes when I said that. It's like, well, look at you. You're in the parking spaces here. There's plenty of room. Plenty of room to park here. And you got to park over the two lines up against my truck. God, learn to fucking park, people. You want to get on my bad side? Don't use your blinker. Don't merge correctly. And park like an asshole. Those are all avoidable. The lesson to today, folks, just don't be a dick when you're driving. The other lesson. The Suns had some fight in them. And I'll give them that. They had some fight. They just had a boneheaded first quarter. And you can't... It comes down to the same narrative that we've dealt with throughout this entire season, is this team just lacks the edge. They lack the focus. They lack the heart that you need to be a killer. They're not killers. Bradley Beal has some dog in him, and he is the most give a shit on the team. So, you know, that's nice. But ultimately, from a killer standpoint, this is a game where you had to come out and you had to have a killer instinct. And if the fact that Jusuf Nurkić isn't playing is enough for you to completely throw away a normal game plan and be discombobulated on both ends of the floor, that's scary. That's scary. Now, granted, the Suns were getting some decent shots in that first half. Just none of them were falling. They went 2 of 19 from the field in the first quarter. 2 of 19. That's 10.5%. I wrote a piece for Bright Side of the Sun called A Total Eclipse of the Suns. Watching the first quarter burned our eyes out. It was almost as if the Suns, because everyone was going crazy yesterday about the solar eclipse, right? All over the nation, people are like, ooh, a solar eclipse. We got to look up at it. And here in Phoenix, we got a partial eclipse, right? I feel like the Suns, as a team, went outside and looked up at it without the proper eyewear on and blinded themselves. They couldn't see the fucking rim in the first fucking half, man. It was comical. On field of shooting night.
Yeah, that's the worst part. And I was talking about, you know, if there's one owner that would give back money to the fans for a game like this in the first quarter like this, it would be Matt Ishbia. Maybe just give them a quarter of the price back. That'd be nice. Because that was absolute dog shit. And yeah, they were getting some decent looks to start. But then the thing that always happens to this team is they get down maybe by 10 or 11 quick in the games. We saw this a couple weeks back during that stretch of horrible games against the Milwaukee Bucks and the Boston Celtics. They get down. And they just have nobody to help them get back into it. They think it's over already. You could see that from Booker. You could see that from KD. We're like, oh, this is fucking over, right? We're just going to lose this game by probably 20 plus. Why give a fuck? So they get down on themselves. And like I said, in the NBA, you can come back from a deficit of 40 points to probably win a game. You definitely can. But it starts
especially that early in the game, right?
Yeah, that early. That's what I'm saying. Like watching this team in the first quarter, it's like, big fucking deal. Get your fucking ass in the game. You'll be fine. And it took until the third quarter, until the second half to really get things going. But it didn't start right away, but it was mostly the fourth quarter. So I hate thinking about the playoffs. And if the Suns team does get down by 15 plus, it's like, how are they going to respond? Is it over? Do we have to just like throw this game away? Because this is the first time I've seen the Suns team really come back since the Sacramento Kings game, where they actually had a chance to win and they showed some fight. So it's hard to watch that.
Yeah, and it's, again, that's the challenge with the 2023-2024 Suns, is we just don't know if they possess that killer attitude or if they go into that mindset. Because what's the mindset been of the Suns all season? It's been one of, yeah, you know, like when the playoffs come, you know, like everything's a practice for the playoffs. Because when you have Kevin Durant, who's in his 16th year, they got Booker's now in his 9th, you got Bradley Beal, who's in his 11th. You know, KD, it's like clockwork, right? Like he goes to the postseason every year. So for him, the season is an end to justify the means. He's just trying to get through it. Booker has kind of adopted that mindset this season and has been like, okay, yeah, we just got to get to the postseason. We got to turn it on at the right time. No reason to overexert yourself in game 42, 52, 62, 72, because what matters is game 83 when you start playing in the playoffs. But it also carries over almost like game to game as well, because when they get down like that, you don't know if they have the fight to get back in, because then they kind of get frustrated. They start pushing the opposing team. And they, again, that mental weakness isn't a positive. As you mentioned in this game, they did have that fight. And that is a positive to take away from this. They scored more points in the third quarter than they did in the first half. They had 33 points in the first half. They had 35 in the first quarter. So, I mean, in the third quarter. So they definitely had some fight left in them. They got it down to 7 points in the fourth. So down 37, they got it down to 7. That's a 30-point turnaround. They just didn't have enough legs left in them to end it. They didn't have the shooting. Grayson Allen, again, this is two consecutive games where he hasn't hit a three. He's like 0 of 15 or 13 or something in his last two games from beyond the arc. Obviously not what you want to see from Grayson Allen, but you can't sit there and pin it solely on Grayson Allen because of the deficit that occurred so early in the game. But we can't have these games where we just play two quarters. The Suns, and what is, you know, the big knock that a lot of us have? Well, they're not putting together a complete game. And we've yet to really see a good, complete game. And guess what, Jamsters? It ain't going to happen in the playoffs. It's not like the competition gets easier in the playoffs and all of a sudden you can start putting together complete games. So you have to kind of understand that this is what the Suns are. This is who they are. They're a team that just doesn't, I think, have that killer instinct. They showed me some grit tonight. I like the grit, but I don't like playing like shit.
Yeah, I like the grit. But I don't like it. I don't like who it's just coming from. I don't like how you can look at Booker and you can look at KD and just kind of question them. It's like, can we trust you in these games? Like, I'm not going to look at the box score. I really don't care. I just think looking at them on the court, I just know, like, once they have the ball in their hands, they look like a bystander out there with the ball. Like, wait, what do I do with it? Who am I going to pass it to? Is this an okay pass? Like, you know, the turnovers were down in this game, which is fine. But those guys are just, when Nurk's out, are they really that helpless? Like, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson were talking about with Draymond, like, hey, we need you on the court because you complete us in a way. Obviously, Nurkic is not that way, like Draymond is to those other guys, but Nurk plays a big part in that. But I should not see that Devin Booker and Kevin Durant fall apart, and they can't just help this team carry this team to a victory by themselves. That should be enough. It should absolutely be enough, especially in a game like this. Where I guess you could say matchups, I guess you could say defense, but those two players, does it really have to be that big of a fucking deal if some guy can guard them? Like, it shouldn't be. That's what I'm saying. So that's the frustrating part about this whole thing. Yeah, they did show fight. It's just they let me down a lot more ways than they did make it right.
Not wrong. They let us all down. They let the entire arena down. That's there on fan appreciation. And I'll tell you this. People were there fucking early, man. They were there early. Now, they were doing the Bradley Beal bobblehead, which I'll ask you this. Like, would you show up early for a Bradley Beal bobblehead?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know. I don't know. I was talking about I did a live, an Instagram live while I was walking into the arena, taking a page out of Matthew Lissy's book, and just kind of walking and talking and saying just that. I'm like, I don't know if, like, you know, like, there's some things that I want to go up to the people at the gates and, like, kind of be like, hey, I know I'm media, but can I get one of those bobbleheads? Tonight wasn't one of those nights. So I got there early, walked out onto the court, and it was so packed. It was so packed. I haven't seen it like that in quite some time. Luckily, I found a seat and just kind of sat back and relaxed for, you know how it is. You sit down for an hour and you just kind of watch shoot around and get the notification that there's no Harden. You know that Kawhi Leonard's in. And the first thing that goes through my mind, I'm like, no Kawhi, no Harden, no shit. The Suns are going to play like shit. I don't know what it is. It's that lackadaisical thought process. If this guy's going to let
it back out,
he's a fucking nice guy.
It is. It is that. And I can see this team 10 years from now, if they were ever interviewed about the shit season, like if they were ever interviewed and asked, like, how did you lose these games with the stars out? It's like, oh, we just kind of, Well, Bradley Beal even said it. Well, who did he say? Who was out for that one game? He's like, oh, the SGA was out or something. He's like, SGA was out, and we thought we were going to win.
Wemby. Like, that is Wemby.
It was Wemby, yeah. Wemby was out. We think we're going to win the game. It's like, okay, that's great. So that is the way they think. What's going to change that? Nothing. Nothing's going to change that. That's just their mentality, man.
I'll let you control the drops and who you want to talk about tonight, Matthew. You're the MC. You run the show. I'm in a parking lot, and I don't feel like doing it.
And she said, you're not the only one, but you're the best, Bradley. Boom, boom.
Yeah, Bradley Beal tonight. I mean, just in the second half alone, man, like his stats were fucking great. He had 17 points, 6 total rebounds. He had the 1 assist, but he had only the 1 turnover, and he took complete control of the second half.
Like was 17 points his total in the second half, or just in the
second half.
Yeah, he was balling out in that second half. He finally took it upon himself to say, you know what, I'm going to put pressure on the opposition. And again, we've talked about this in the past. When the Suns are at their finest, you have Bradley Beal initiating and creating havoc on the interior, and either he's finishing or he's dishing out. And because of that, the defense has collapsed, and you're going to get some open shots. That did happen. Again, like Royce O'Neal and Eric Gordon, they were knocking down the shots, but Grayson Allen wasn't. He was the benefit of a lot of that penetration. But he also just put his head down and said, fuck it. I'm better than Russell Westbrook. I'm going to just dribble better, I'll dribble him, and he did, and he looked absolutely fantastic in that second half. You know, he was the spark, because I don't have the stat in front of me, but my assumption is, if I remember correctly, Devin Booker and Kevin Durant combined for like 9 of 33 shooting. They were like 27% combined, and we'll talk about Devin Booker here momentarily. But Bradley Beal was, like I said earlier, he has
on the money.
He has give a shit. He has some give a shit, and I wish it would rub off on Devin Booker primarily, because Devin Booker, you know, he gets mad, but we haven't seen him get mad and actually punish people for his anger. And it felt like tonight that Bradley Beal was mad, and he was also in the mode of punishing.
Yeah, it's just so crazy how we went through a stretch just a week ago when Book was like, he was turning a corner to kind of be a leader. He was out there kind of yelling at guys, taking accountability for his mistakes. And he just didn't see that tonight at all. He disappeared. But also, like, it really worried me in the first half, because Beal did only have the 2 points. When the offense is going through Eubanks and they're not getting anything, obviously, and he's in the corner, like, what I think about is Beal is probably like, what the fuck am I doing here? Obviously, yes, I want to win, but I don't have a ball for a whole half, basically. I have 2 points in the first half. That's not
how many shot attempts?
Shot attempts he had in the first half, he had 4. 4 field goal attempts, 0 for 4. He had the 2 assists, just the 1 turnover, but I'm just like, you're sitting there in the corner, so do you think long-term, like, this is something that's going to work, just because he has to take so much time off and out of the play, which is fine, because like Luka and Kyrie are figuring out, but those are 2 guys. But now you have Kevin Durant, and it's just, I feel like it's just too much for him to sit out. I know he's getting paid a lot. I know he can't be traded, but I definitely could see him just being like, I kind of want my own team too. I want to be maybe the second guy, or at least the first guy. Like, I want to be vice versa. I want to be that, maybe at least the second guy somewhere else. I worry about this.
A conversation, obviously, that we will have this offseason, and it will be probably a regular topic for quite some time, because I know that that's the drum that you're beating. And I'll say that if that's the drum, if that drum that you're beating is correct, that Bradley Beal wants more involvement, that Bradley Beal wants to be a secondary, not a tertiary guy. Remember, he has a no trade clause in his contract, but which means he can dictate where he wants to go. And will the Suns bend their will for Bradley Beal? And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, you know, and it's I hate to say this after a great game by him, but the one issue that I have with Bradley Beal, big picture, not small picture, big picture, is the lack of flexibility and what we pay him. And if you want to build a team around Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, you need to do so with a bunch of $20 million a year guys. Like, we're going to have to pay Royce O'Neal and Grayson Allen, not a $57 million guy, which is what Bradley Beal will be next year. So it'll be interesting to see if what you're seeing, Matthew, if the frustration that could potentially exist because a team is struggling and he has the ability to put the ball in the bucket and then he's just not getting the shot attempts or not getting the opportunity to do so, how that dictates his offseason behavior. I think that'll be something that's very interesting.
Yeah, and I'm with Metal Mike. I don't want to lose Beal. I like him, but yeah, he's overvalued. I love him. Obviously, tonight I was losing my shit over him. I thought he had the best game, obviously, as a Sun. He really took it on his shoulders to get them back in the game. The
second game in a row, he's had the best game for the Suns.
Yes, I know.
He's the one who's stepping up right now.
He really is, and it overshadows Book. So then I'm like, does he like that? I don't know. But let's talk about this guy. I'm just kidding.
It's not Aiden's fault tonight.
Big Dick Booker.
Micro Penis Booker. Yeah. What did he have?
All right, so do you just want to, overall tonight? So Book had he had 12 points. He had the three turnovers. He's 0 for 4 from 3, 1 for 11 from the field.
1 for 11 from the field.
10 for 11 from the free throw line.
Yeah, that's where he got his points.
Yeah, just I don't even know what he was out there. I don't know what that was. That wasn't Booker. I don't know what that was.
I'll tell you what that was. That was 1 of 11 from the field. It was fucking disgusting. It was, you know, again, this is the time when we need Devin Booker to step up, and you mentioned it. Last week we were talking about when the Suns were winning, how not only was he putting the ball in the cylinder, but how active he was on both ends of the floor. And one of the things that scares me about the Clippers, and one of the reasons why I talk about how I'm going to make my determination on who I'd prefer the Suns to play in the playoffs after these two games, is I want to see how Devin Booker responds to Paul George. And because we know that there's a tiff between he and Booker, and it's not the same kind of tiff as he and Luka have. Like, Booker and Luka get into it on the floor. There's a playfulness. It's a competitive playfulness that they both possess. Like, Paul George and Devin Booker, I think, honestly, do not like each other. And Paul George pushed him around again tonight, man. Paul George just kind of pushed, because, and obviously he's fucking bigger, but he kind of had his way with them. And Booker had an opportunity to step up to the moment at home, fan appreciation night. I was watching pregame shoot around, and Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal were out there shooting. Then of course Devin Booker comes out, and all the whole crowd goes crazy, and he's shooting around. And I was sitting there and I was thinking, you know, I post a lot of things on Instagram and our Twitter feed, all from the Suns Jam Session account. Make sure you follow at Suns Jam on both of those social media outlets. And I always post like shoot around of Kevin Durant, because it's one of the most beautiful things you've ever seen. And Bradley Beal. And I never really post Booker. And this is Booker's team. This is Booker's city. So he's the one who should be stepping up in a night like tonight and saying, you know what? This is it's not a must-win game. I don't think that there's no must-win games until you're fucking on the verge of elimination. That's my opinion. But this is a big game. This is an opportunity to separate yourself from the Pelicans, because the Pelicans, I believe, won tonight. So we're back in the seventh seed. So an opportunity to separate or keep pace with the Pelicans. An opportunity to kind of send a message to the Los Angeles Clippers that what happened in January was a mirage. And Devin Booker just could not hit the broadside of a fucking barn. Couldn't hit shit. 1 of 11. That was disgusting to see. I'm hoping he bounces back tomorrow night. I mean, that's obviously what we all hope, because, you know, this is a Devin Booker city. And we want and need him to excel. And he can, especially in that building over there in Staples Center. But that was a putrid performance by Booker. He looked lost on both ends of the floor. And the only way he could get himself into the game is by attacking the rim, and it worked out for him. But man, that was ugly.
Yeah, it was bad. You know, he had the one big offensive rebound towards the end of the game where the Suns couldn't get anything to go down. So that was a big play. Other than that, yeah, he just was kind of disappeared and kind of stood at the top of the key, was just kind of passing it around, giving it up. Didn't seem confident at all. Like, something was way off. I can't say it was
PG
the defense.
PG was in his head, man.
yeah, it was like he had spacing with guys, but he just didn't seem to care. He didn't have the want, the will, all that good stuff.
All that good stuff, see?
Let's talk about Royce O'Neal.
Yeah, bling bling bling. Rolls Royce. Yeah, nigga, Rolls Royce.
He had the 10 points, 11 rebounds, a big fucking rebound tonight. Like, he played, like, he looked like Thaddeus out there at times, man. Like, he had two steals. He was 3 for 10 from the field, so he hit two big threes. But, like, I still trusted every shot. He just, everything he shot, I was like, okay, I love it. Good look, but nothing could go in. He was, like, our bridge to the victory, and he just, it just, like, crumbled, man, because everything was going in and out for him, I feel like, towards the end of the game. But he was taking a lot of big shots. Did you like his shot selection, or did you think, like,
I did because somebody had to shoot, right? Like, yeah, when we talk about the Suns going 2 of 19 in the first quarter, they only shot 4 threes, you know? So, I mean, they weren't even – it was all at the fucking rim that they were losing, you know? It's like, so shoot the fucking three. So I like that he was taking threes. What I liked is the fact that Frank Vogel said, fuck Drew Eubanks. And he started Royce O'Neal in the third quarter. I mean, that's what changed the tide, is they fully embraced small ball. It just took Frankie a little longer than expected to realize that that ain't the fucking answer. If you don't have Nurk, and I mean, Drew Eubanks is damn near unplayable. It's so sad to see this and to say this late in the season with three games left to go. But it's like, can he dunk the ball? Yeah. Like, it's nice every now and then when he catches it, but he looks lost on defense. His footwork is subpar. He just hasn't been what we've needed him to be. Unless we're playing Andre Drummond, Nurkic is unplayable. And finally, Frank just fucking said, you know, I'm throwing caution to the wind. We're going small ball with KD at the five. I'm playing Royce O'Neal. And all of a sudden, boom, the tide changed. Now, did he miss some big shots at the end? Yeah, but they weren't bad shots. It wasn't bad shots. When Royce O'Neal took those shots, I was glad because he fucking took them. There were possessions where they just kept, like, because Grayson Allen was not feeling confident either. Grayson Allen would have a wide open three and he'd pass it. And he'd pass it to Eric Gordon, who'd have a wide open three and he'd pass it. And then finally he'd get to Royce O'Neal, and Royce O'Neal's like, well, fuck it, man. There's 3 seconds left on the shot clock. I guess I got to shoot it. So I'm just glad that he was pulling the trigger. 3 of 10, that's 30%, not the best. But I like the fact that he was in there playing the small ball lineups. It helped with the defensive intensity. I'm all for that. And if the Suns are playing small ball five with Kevin Durant, they will not win a championship. That's why Nurkic's health is so vital. But if Nurkic is not available, you do not fucking play Eubanks ever again. You ship him back to Troutdale or wherever the fuck he's from in Oregon. I'm so over Eubanks. I'm not saying Thaddeus Young is the answer, but I know Drew Eubanks ain't it, brother.
Yeah, well, tonight Thaddeus Young did play 7 minutes. He did have one field goal attempt, did not make it. He had two rebounds. But, you know, I wanted to see – they went the small five, the small ball. I wanted to see Thad play that with Kevin Durant. I wanted to see what that kind of looked like. Because Royce was doing such a good job, and I think Thad is just a little bit bigger of a Royce, and he can grab those extra boards. And I definitely wanted to see the physical presence. And I'm not saying it's going to get us a win, but I just thought in certain possessions – or certain positions of the game where you want to grab those boards, you want to push the pace, I think he's a good guy to have in those lineups. But – they didn't go there, and it sucks, man.
If you're going to do it, now's the time. If Nurk is not playing, which he didn't, and I think Frank Vogel said before the game that he might not play tomorrow either in Los Angeles. Like, now's the time to do it. Now is your one last chance to give Thad a little bit of a run to see if he can not necessarily supplant Eubanks, but at least give him a run for his money and to see if that's maybe – something that could be plausible moving forward. Because, I mean, again, Thad's 38 or 35 years old. He's at the back end of his career. You can't ride him in the postseason. But if he's an option, you need to have that option ready, available, and see how those, as you mentioned, Matthew, as some of those lineups look. Like, him plus KD equals what? And now it was a great opportunity to do it tonight, and unfortunately it didn't occur.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of is, like I said last pod, where Thad is a guy you can just plug and play, and he's going to do his thing, so you don't have to worry about it. I really think maybe they're trying to get Eubanks some kind of confidence, you know what I mean? Like, he did kind of warm up there in the second quarter, but it takes too long. It obviously, it takes too long. A little bit too long. I guess, I don't know, man. You want to talk about Kevin Durant, I guess?
Yeah, but bring
like
up
we, KD. I feel like we always talk about.
Who the heck are you?
Yeah, I'm Kevin Durant. You know who I am. Y'all know who I am.
Did anybody see a sniper? Did anybody see anything?
I'm one of the best players to ever play a game.
8 for 22, 21 points, 2 assists, 1 turnover, 2 rebounds. I don't know, just like the same as Book. It was just one of those fucked up games. I don't know, man. That's just difficult shots. Oh, what else do you say about Kevin Durant?
He totally redeemed himself in the fourth quarter. I'll tell you that. He again, when I mentioned a little bit earlier, when a lot of players were passing, Booker included, were passing on taking open shots, Kevin Durant did not shy away from taking those shots. Did they all go in? No, but he hit a couple big threes that were part of a potential comeback. And he did a lot of those things that you expect. That, again, that's the challenge with him, right? Like, you want Booker to be able to do that. It's Kevin Durant who's going to do that because he is fucking Kevin Durant. You know who he is. So I think that he had a kind of a fucked up night tonight because Eubanks was so god awful. I think Kevin Durant was bad by association from a shooting standpoint, not necessarily because he was taking bad shots, but because he had to play a little bit more physical on the defensive end because Drew Eubanks was so lost that he couldn't find his ass from a hole in the ground. So I'm not putting anything on KD on this one. At least, you know me, I try to keep it as real as possible. KD, good, bad, or indifferent. I didn't mind what I saw. I liked that he was aggressive because we needed somebody to be aggressive in that fourth quarter. Because Grayson Allen was just, and Eric Gordon, like, oh shit, and Booker's like, I need to pass this. It was Beal and it was Durant in the fourth who reached down and grabbed their testicles. Now Beal grabbed his testicles because he got hit in them.
He got Draymond
play. He had an and one on one play, and then the next play he got hit where he takes his number one.
Yeah, Kevin Durant was 5 for 9 in the second half with 15 points.
Yeah, he looked great in the second half, man.
Yeah. Also, he did fall on his bony butt a few times. Looked like he was grabbing his hip a few times. There were some comments here in the chat from Joey Lucio says hip injury. I don't know. There's something
we'll see.
You guys know that we know.
He did go hard. Yeah,
when he's grabbing that little bony butt, I'm just like, dude, that's not good. We can't have that. But he kept fighting to get to the rim at times, trying to make a difference there. But I don't know. Do you want to talk about Grayson Allen?
No, I think we've talked about him enough. He fucked shit up tonight again. And the one thing I'll say on Grayson Allen, and I was sitting next to Brandon Mao from Clutch Points tonight, and we were having this conversation, and essentially we were saying, he's like, this is the wrong time of year to go in a slump. I'm like, Grayson Allen, like, once every 5 weeks he'll do this. Now, granted, he had a slump probably about 3 weeks ago, and then he came out the next night after, like, 2 or 3 games of being off and hit – he had, like, 9 threes. He had 7 or 8 threes in the first quarter, right? So I'm not overly worried about it. And if he's going to slump right now. Don't slump in the postseason. The last thing we need is, like, a Grayson Allen slump job in the fucking play-in game or something. So – That's all I got to say about that.
Well, Eric Gordon,
this red.
I almost ran out of gas down there. So I had to get some gas at the Circle K down there, almost towards
the one off of Jefferson.
The one in between. So it's heading south to the 17. There's a gas station there.
Oh, you go that way.
Yeah, I pulled up there, and there was actually a guy on a bike, and there's 3 cops there, and he was filming them. So I guess they were in the wrong. I don't know what was going on. So
oh, nice.
Had to go in and pay. It was fine. It was good. You know. Anyways, so I guess we don't have to talk about Grayson Allen. Someone did bring up Eric Gordon, who did shoot 2 for 5 in the second half. He hit 2 big threes down the stretch. He took maybe 1 too many there, but I kind of like his looks. Just like Grayson Allen, man, they're good looks. It's not going in. Is there an injury with Grayson Allen? There's not, right? I always have to second guess.
I don't
that.
Think so. He didn't look like it. He's lacking his confidence right now. I think that's the challenge with him. He's you could see it when he went to the free throw line at the end of the game, right? I think he took 2 free throws, but the first one he was very tentative taking. He was very deliberate in how he was taking it because you could just tell like his shot was kind of off. And I was watching him pregame shoot around, and he wasn't like, you've seen him in pregame shoot around, right? Like, he's crisp as fuck. And he didn't really look crisp tonight.
Oh, well, that's probably why I didn't make anything. I was asking you too. I don't know if you had any more notes or anything while you're driving. The Kevin Young thing. So he's going to obviously probably be a head coach going into next year. So Kevin Young will be gone. Do you think this has anything to do with the way the players have played this year, to where they just don't buy into Vogel as much, and they really are for Kevin Young, and they're kind of pissed off that he wasn't our head coach? You buy into any of that?
No, I don't think that. I think so. One thing you got to realize is the total number of players who played here last season for Kevin Young is like 3. Right, it's Kevin Durant for like 8 games plus the playoffs. It's Devin Booker and it's like Josh Okogie and Ish Wainwright, who addressed the crowd before the game on Fan Appreciation Night, and everyone was like, "What did he just say? Something like, why is Ish Wainwright talking?" No offense to Ish Wainwright, we love him, but like, why was he the one who they gave the mic to thank the fans for the season? With Devin Booker too fucking.
Oh yeah,
to do it?
It's our last game. I forgot.
Yeah, it was fucking shitty. The whole crowd, like I said, the place was ready to explode when the game began. And it was so comical because, you know, it's like, you stand until we score. Yep. In real time, people were up for like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, like I stood and took a piss break.
Yeah, so, that's always embarrassing. They didn't get rid of that.
So going back to the Kevin Young thing, I don't think that there's enough players left over from a previous regime to really be frustrated that he wasn't the coach. I think that Kevin Young just isn't as, from an offensive standpoint, I don't think that he is prepared to put together an offense with this many stars, right? Or constructed the way that it is, without a point guard. Now, obviously, I'm sure that he had some input on the roster moves that James Jones, Matt Ishby, and Frank Vogel provided to this team. And when they got Bradley Beal, they may have asked him, or they may not have. But he has, again, Frank Vogel is the defensive mastermind. Kevin Young's supposed to be this revolutionary offensive coach. There's nothing that's offensively revolutionary, excuse me, about this team, other than the fact that they have amazing talent. And we've talked about it before, about how you don't need to run a lot of offensive sets when you have this much talent. You just kind of point in the right direction, they go. But nights like tonight are where you see how fragile this offense could be. If Nurkic isn't out there, all of a sudden, you could see it in the screens. You could see in the way that Drew Eubanks passes the ball, right? There's one thing that Nurk does unbelievably well is he'll set a screen with the ball. He'll do a handoff, and he'll hand the ball off. Or he'll do a fake handoff, hold the ball up high, allow the guy who was curling off of the screen to cut to the interior and then make a decision from there. What Drew Eubanks does is he, like, bounces the ball in front of the guy who's cutting. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. And I remember he did it a few games ago, and like, the defender was right there, and they just grabbed the ball and ran down and put it in for a fast break dunk. So from a passing standpoint and just an overall offensive IQ standpoint, Drew Eubanks is not a good basketball player, especially when compared to Yusuf Nurkic. So from a coaching standpoint, if you're Kevin Young, you need to know that and have a game plan, have something instilled, knowing that, hey, this guy isn't as good, so I need to run different sets. Or, hey, Frank, can we not play Eubanks and try some small ball stuff to start this game? And then from there, we can make adjustments. So Eubanks is out there playing their second team guys instead of going up against Ivica Zubac. So will Kevin Young be here next year? Probably not. Will it upset the Suns? Probably not. The only thing that I think is upsetting is the fact that we found out today that the Frank Vogel parody account is retired.
I was just going to bring that up. That's kind of upsetting. Yeah, that is upsetting. I don't know what really went into it. He did say, or he or she, whoever runs the account, that had nothing to do with the team telling him to stop. But I know Nurkic did block him, so maybe that hurt him to the heart, because it was kind of a thing where it's funny, and the players all knew about it. Kevin Durant knew about it, and Nurk obviously knew about it and followed him. So I think that kind of sucks, though. When you try to have that thing going, you're spreading joy to the Suns community, all the fans out there and stuff, and everyone's having a good time with it. Then I think when Nurk does kind of block you, that must kind of suck, maybe. I don't know if that was the main reason, but it sucks it's gone, because he brought a lot of us all together. And all went camping together and all that shit. Like, that was actually fun to have some friends in my knee-high boots. Like, that shit's awesome.
I think that, and we know this, Matthew, because, you know, we run this podcast, and we're blessed to have a fan base and a group of people who like to hang out with us, and they watch you on Playback TV, and then they hang out with us on the podcast, or they listen to the podcast, and it's that semblance of Suns community that is enjoyable, that we appreciate. And sometimes, though, if you fly a little bit too close to the sun, you can get burnt, right? And I feel like and I hope that Frank Vogel, whoever runs that account, is listening to this. Remember one thing, and this is something that I think has helped both you and I survive for coming up on 5 years doing this stuff. Social media is not real, okay? It's a platform, but it's not real. And I think that perhaps in the Frank Vogel situation, yeah, maybe his feelings got hurt a little bit by the fact that Yusuf Nurkic blocked him because he had provided kind of a jestful criticism of Nurkic's play. And that might have hurt his feelings. And then it kind of, then you start to look inside. Because you know what it's like, Matthew. Like, when we read comments in the YouTube page or if you on Reddit, and if there's anything negative about our podcast, we've both navigated those feelings where somebody will say, like, Foyta doesn't know anything about basketball. What the fuck's he talking about? He says good, better, and different too often. And if you listen to the noise and you read it, it can hurt your feeling at times. It does. You know, we're all human. We're putting ourselves out there for all to listen and see and watch and hear. And sometimes it can, you know, when people are mean, and guess what? People on the internet are fucking mean. People are easy to be negative. People are because it's easier to do that. And people are ready and willing to criticize without understanding how much hard work, effort, dedication goes into the things that we do, the things that Frank Vogel, the parody Twitter account, did. So, you know, if Frank, if you're watching or listening, you know, take a couple days off from it, realize it's not real, and just go out there and continue to do what you're doing. Because at the end of the day, what that account did, what we do here at the Suns Jam Session, is we provide a place for people to come together and talk about the one thing that we all have in common, and that's the Phoenix Suns. I know that in normal life, you're not going to find a lot of people who share that love and passion. You know, if you're walking down the street or if you're at work and you try to talk to somebody about a Suns game, you know, you might have a 10% chance that you have a 50% chance that they know who the Suns are and a 10% chance that they know who the starting five is, right? So when you go onto social media and you find that common thread and those common conversations, it can be addictive, and it can be something that you thoroughly enjoy. And if you get offended by it, it can be hurtful as well. So, you know, my hope is that when people consume our content, consume the Frank Vogel content, you know, they enjoy it, but at the same time, like, don't be mean. And if you are going to be mean, go ahead and be mean. I just won't read your comment. I won't block either. I don't block people for the most part. I think I block one person, but social media is not real. That's the lesson of my 15-minute thought on that.
No, that was good. And I hope everyone could actually listen to that, take something from it, because if it wasn't for this podcast, obviously I wouldn't be on any social media. I'm barely on it. It is very negative. It was funny because I was listening to a interview from Sabonis from the Sacramento Kings. He said at the beginning of the year, he turned off all social media, and he said it's made the biggest change in his mood. He said it was always a waste of time, and that it just brightened his mood from day to day, and he's gotten a lot more done without it too. So, I just think that's just funny because I am on it and I do see comments and stuff. But if it wasn't for this pod, I wouldn't be on it. I think it's a terrible thing. I think social media sucks. We were speaking about Frank Vogel and his thing. He was actually, I guess, when you get home, you probably have to watch it. But there's a press conference with him. He seems pretty mad. So we'll see. Oh, that's God, not good.
Is he bitching about fouls again?
No, he's just, I don't know if it's let me see. So it says something about him having, it seems like he had some rough words for the team in the locker room. So some strong words, excuse me, for the team in the locker room.
Fucking good.
I don't know if that's good or bad, but we'll see. He has to get on their ass, and Bradley Beal always talks about it. Yeah, he had to get on our ass. It's like, dude, fuck you guys.
$47 million a year. You need somebody to get on your ass.
Do you, did you do subreddit?
No, I did not. Did you?
I did not, no.
Okay. Let's
terrible. Take a lap. God awful. Get going. Terrible. Take a lap.
Yeah, we're bad.
We can still do our voices and just make shit up. The Suns were fucking dog shit tonight. Miss Biggie, they played like shit. I don't know what happened with the Phoenix Suns. Where are they? That's your subreddit stakeout. All right. I'm getting close to being home, so we can wrap this thing up soon.
All right, what did you have, sir?
Jam star of the game.
All right. Okay, there it is. It was like delayed a little bit. Like, subscribe, everybody out there. Suns Jam.
I got to say, for those of you who will be watching and or listening tomorrow night, we did get two new comments on Apple 5-star reviews.
Woo!
I can't wait to read them. We'll read those tomorrow night. If you want to be on, do the same. 5 stars, write us a review.
All right.
We'll read it on the pod.
All right, well, I got Bradley Beal.
My jam star is the Bradley Beal bobblehead.
The one you cannot get, huh?
The one I did not want to get.
Yeah, all right. Well, that's fine, man. I mean, El Sol says bull, which I totally agree. Great minutes for getting dunked on every time he was in the game. Seth Logan.
Bull was, again, that's why you don't put Bull at the five, man.
No, that was bad. I mean, he was basically in the locker room being backed down by that big butt of whatever his next is. Metal Mike says Beal. Suns Fever 83, Beal. Jones in since 80. Rolls Royce, that's a good pick. Missed some
shots.
I swear those were going in. Michael Cole, the real deal, Bradley Beal. El Sol, IT. Okay, now we're just messing around. El Sol, I clicked on you again. Get out of here. Michael Cole, 5-star all day, you guys. And then Metal Mike says, Sarge Smoke Break. All right, very nice. Anything else you got, John?
Are we doing night, playback TV deal? Tomorrow?
Do you want to?
Do you?
Yeah, I'll do it. It's fine.
Hell yeah, dude. So in case you guys don't know, go to playback.tv, the Bright Side of the Sun channel, and Matthew and I will sit and we'll watch the game with you guys. We should order dinner, do the whole nine, man. I'm really actually looking forward to it because I've only done it once and I did it solo. And you did it with Suns Geek and you had Metal Mike on. So, I mean, you've done it with people. So I'm excited to just sit around and shoot the shit with you just like we should do red wine and Suns Geek. It's a fucking Wednesday.
I was going to say it's a Wednesday. Maybe Friday night. Friday night we can do that.
Yeah, Friday night. There you go. We'll do some red wine and some Suns games. Yeah, just like the old days. But yeah, I don't have much else. Do you have time? I know that was a long, like, social media rant. Do you have time to snip that and then, like, post it on our Twitter feed and tag Frank Vogel?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah, that whole thing, that whole, like, 10 minutes.
And stuff, but yeah, I'll do it after.
Oh, perfect. I appreciate it. I'd like him to see that. I think I made some good points there.
Okay. Yeah, you got it, man. Is that all you got then?
That's all I got. I'm almost home. I mean, next time the Suns play here in Phoenix, it's a play-in game probably. So.
Yeah, I know.
Fucking A, dude.
All right. Well, everyone, go home and love your family then. See ya.